America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on bbc.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. A former Commonwealth Edison executive convicted of falsifying business records and conspiracy is going to prison for a corruption scheme involving one-time Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan. John Hooker once led ComEd's lobbying operation, and my colleague Dave McKinney reports a federal jury convicted him for his role in illegally influencing Madigan to advance ComEd's legislative agenda. Hooker wanted probation, but Judge Manish Shah today sentenced him to 18 months behind bars. Judge Shah told Hooker he'd engaged in secretive, sophisticated criminal corruption. Hooker helped orchestrate putting Madigan political workers on lucrative ghost ComEd subcontracts so Madigan didn't have to pay them. Prosecutors said Madigan used ComEd as a personal piggy bank, and Hooker happily joined in the effort. He's the first of four former ComEd executives or lobbyists to be sentenced in the Madigan bribery scheme. An air quality alert is in effect today for multiple counties in northwestern Illinois. The state EPA has issued this alert for counties including Cook, Lake, DuPage, and McHenry, and it's lasting until midnight Tuesday. The agency also has designated tomorrow as an air pollution action day for the greater Chicago metro area. Active children and adults are being advised to limit their lengthy outdoor activity, especially if you have respiratory conditions like asthma. The Major League Baseball All-Star Game is tomorrow. Both the Cubs and White Sox are focused on the future. They've been so on the past couple of days. That's because the annual MLB draft is wrapping up this afternoon after the first three rounds were held yesterday. Despite breaking the record for most losses in a season in 2024, draft lottery rules had the White Sox stuck with the 10th pick. So they selected shortstop Billy Carlson from Corona High School in California. Carlson says the White Sox were a team he had his eye on coming into the draft.
Got to do a few workouts with them. I got to meet like the whole kind of staff and stuff. So I felt like I showed pretty well. So I think they were impressed from what they saw, and they chose me for their first pick. So I just feel super blessed, and I'm super excited to kind of take this next step.
The Cubs made outfielder Ethan Conrad from Wake Forest their first round selection with the 17th pick. And Chicago's newest piping plover chicks now have names, Bean, Elle, and Ferris. Each name is connected to an aspect of Chicago history and culture. Bean is named after the Cloudgate sculpture in Millennium Park, the Bean. Ferris comes from the Ferris wheel, which debuted in Chicago, as well as the fictional North Shore truant Ferris Bueller. And Elle, E-L, comes from the city's elevated train system. All these names were selected after a contest held by the Chicago Bird Alliance. You're listening to The Rundown. If you're frustrated with the growing number of restaurants requiring a deposit to make a reservation, you might want to direct your ire to your fellow diners. Fed up with careless cancellations, restaurant owners are blowing the whistle on bad restaurant reservation etiquette. I spoke about it with food and drink contributor Maggie Hennessy. She talked about how restaurants are cracking down on flaky diners.
What kind of bad behavior are restaurant owners flagging?
So lots of things, actually. There are folks who will book multiple tables at once and then pick last minute the winner and maybe not let the other ones know. There are folks who will just not show up at all, the ghoster. There are also folks who will book a table that's larger than their actual party size, hoping to maybe get, you know, a more premium table, a little more space, and then they show up with just two. Probably the worst offenders of all, though, are those last minute cancelers or just no shows. And by last minute, I mean like less than 24 hours.
Right. How is this carelessness impacting businesses financially?
Significantly. I spoke to Dave Benami, the owner of Peanut Park Trattoria. He had, out of 134 reservations, 52 last-minute cancellations or no-shows, translated to a loss of $3,000 that night for his restaurant. So they're feeling it to the point where, restaurants will buy ingredients, they will hire staff based specifically on on how many people they're expecting to come in that night. So those losses can be significant. If you've staffed for what you think is going to be, you know, 200 covers in a night and only 100 show up, that's, you know, that's lost budget that you had factored in for paying for staff and also for the product you're buying. Yeah.
Do customers have a defense? What do you think's at the root of this breakdown of dining etiquette?
It's interesting. I was thinking about this because back when you used to call, you know, maybe you'd like leave a fake name. Maybe you just could not show up. And if they didn't take your information down per se, you know, maybe you could get away with it. Now, I think the equivalent is it's become really easy to book things online. Ergo, it's become kind of easy to cancel them or not show up if you don't feel like it.
It's not as personal.
Yeah, and I think the pandemic, a lot of what happened, yeah, I think people sort of got this entitlement to like, well, I don't want to. I want to stay home more, or I don't feel like it, or why should I? And so I think we feel a little bit like, it's just become very easy to not take those things as seriously.
So tell me, school me a little bit. What is the proper etiquette? If I want to make a reservation, what's the proper process I should go through?
So it's interesting. Some of them are overbooking restaurants on nights they know that we'll be busy, like Valentine's Day, for example, mm-hmm. Using data from their reservation platforms. Looking at past years, for example, they could say if 20% of people canceled on Valentine's Day, then they would overbook those tables by 20%, sort of like airlines, just as a buffer for themselves. They're also starting to block people. Lacey Irby, the owner of Dear Margaret in Lakeview, told me that through Talk, the reservation system she uses, she is manually tracking folks who will serial cancel on her. So someone who has booked the restaurant 7 times but never showed up, which apparently there is a real person out there who did that, she will block and say, no, you're not able to book reservations here anymore. Yeah. And then some are also considering bringing back the dreaded reservation fees. As much as we hate them, we might have to start putting down $20 that will go toward our bill, sure, but to ensure that we actually show up when we say we will.
You just heard from food and drink writer Maggie Hennessy. Weather, a sunny, hot, and humid day around town, a high near 90, clear and muggy tonight, a low near 70, and then more hot and humid conditions on Tuesday, sunshine with a high again near 90. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thank you for listening.